it every day.
And so actually it's saying that we're greater than that. That we are bigger than that, and that we're more powerful than that. But because of what we've learned, because of what we've experienced, then we don't realize that. And so we've lost sight of who we really are. And now I think I am just Earl Purdy, black man in America. And he's saying, no, you're more than Earl Purdy, black man in America. That's one of the ways that you express yourself. But it's not my ultimate identity in terms of ultimately who I really am, you know. But the working out of, like, for instance, what I just said, that's what the workbook is about. It's got three parts to it. The text, which is the theoretical foundation that describes the overall thought system of the course. And then you got the workbook that gives you practical applications to use every day, which, quite frankly, most people don't do. Most people try to get the course by just listening or just reading. And that kind of makes you aware of what the overall thought system is, but it absolutely does not give you the direct experience of what it's talking about. And he says, quite frankly, the book says that the direct experience of it is what convinces you that it's true, and that it's really not a way you can just intellectually get it. And so most of us try to intellectually get it. And he's saying, well, there's some things beyond our ability to intellectually grasp, no matter how smart we think we are. And it's only through having, I can describe a tuna fish sandwich to everybody in here, and I can write books about tuna fish sandwiches. But it's until you eat a tuna fish sandwich, you really don't know the essence of what that's about. And that's essentially what the course is saying. Is, you know, I can tell you about one, and yet that can make you want to go to the store and get one. And then I can tell you exactly what it looks like, so you'll know where to go pick it up. But that's still not the experience of actually eating a tuna fish sandwich. And that's what the course is saying. What it's ultimately talking about is, frankly, beyond what somebody can intellectually describe to you. So I've done this long enough to know that... I'm not saying that you're doing that, but I know that we can go round and round and round and round and round and round and round about what's real, what's unreal, what's love, what's God, what's not God, what's spirit, what's not spirit. But the course is saying that the place that it's trying to start is at the place of peace. It's trying to give us new interpretations of our experience that will allow us to have peace of mind. And then it says, from you achieving peace of mind, your own inner guide, your own higher self, your own God self, your own spiritual self will then direct you on your personal spiritual path, which is a very individual path and not necessarily like everybody else's in the room. So the ultimate goal of the course is to help a person get in touch with their own guidance. It's not really about getting in touch with guidance from anybody else. It's really about you got a guidance within you, and you got a voice inside of you, and you have a higher self or a spiritual self, and allowing that spiritual self to direct your life and to get you in touch with the truth at a direct level is what the course is talking about. And that's what attracted me to it, because it's not trying to put anybody in the hands of some authority. It's not trying to say you got to do it the way everybody else does it. It's not trying to get anybody else to guide you or tell you what to do. You know, I see myself as just a reminder. I see myself as someone who just, for those who are interested in this particular form of the universal curriculum, then I'm here to help somebody who's interested in this form. Now, it's not the only form. So if this form is not a form that resonates, then there'll be a form that resonates for you. For some people, that's the Bible. For some people, that's other metaphysical books or spiritual books. And that's the way that we all get back to the same place. Just like there's more than one way to get to Unity Temple, there's more than one street to get here. So that's the beauty of it to me, is that it honors your personal
individuality. Yeah, but it makes broad statements about the universe, you know, interpretations of the universe that just frankly is rather new to me. You know, when it says that the universe is false.
Well, see, yeah, but what I'm saying is that I hear what you're saying, but hear what I'm saying too. I'm just saying that the interpretations that you have of the course, all I can do is share with you what the course's purpose is. Like you said, what does the course mean by false and what does the course mean by true? What it means by true is it's eternal. What the course means by false is that it's temporary. Now, that's its definition of it. I'm not saying that that's something that you would necessarily agree with, or there's something you would necessarily understand, or anything like that. He said, all I can tell a person when they ask me a question about what the course is just share what it says. The actual acceptance of that, like you accepting that or understanding that, it's no way I can have any control over if that happens, when that happens, or whatever. But the basic goal is love. The basic goal is for me and you to be in an experience together and recognize each other, want peace for each other, support each other in who we really are in a loving way. That's the real deal. Now, if the rest of it is theoretical issues that we could debate from here to eternity. But the real deal is if I can walk out of here today and I see you as my brother and I see you as one with me and I want love and peace for you and I would never try to attack or try to hurt you and recognize that you're a part of me, then that's the real deal, is how we love each other, how we treat each other. The rest of it is really just so much intellectual stuff, to be absolutely frank. So I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm right, or anything like that. But like I said, at some point you want to discuss that more or talk, we can do that. I'll have that be great. But I just want to not decide where we left off in the class now. But believe me, I get that a lot of stuff that it says can be challenging, can bring up resistance, can be confusing, and there's not a person in here that would not agree with that, especially when they first got introduced to the material. I mean, that's
can
normal.
Can I just ask one more question before you stop?
If it's something I can answer quickly, I'd be glad to.
Okay. How does it relate to the afterlife experience? What is this? How does it explain that? Or is that
there's a section in the teacher's manual that's called What is Death? That goes specifically into that. So if you get the book, see, all those questions that you're asking me are questions that could take the whole class to answer practically. Because there's not a quick way to answer what happens, what it says happens after afterlife, other than the fact that we go into something entirely different and what we really are is eternal. That's the basic idea that when we get there, we'll know, but love is how we get there. You know, it's like how we deal with each other now. It's what Course would say is the only thing that's important, really. Now, you know, what happens after death? Again, that's another one of those questions that we could all go around and around on because no one can say that they know for sure. But how I treat you sitting right here and how we relate to each other right here, that we got something that we can do. And that's what it talks about a lot, like, the more you spend time focusing on theoretical issues, what it means by theoretical issues is things that you cannot give yourself a direct experience of, then it's a way to delay the actual relating to each other in a loving way. Because in the end, that's all that, in the end, as far as what it's saying is that that's all that matters, is how peaceful and how loving we are to each other. And in getting to that state, then your inner guidance and your inner guidance will tell you, it will lead you to what you need to know, whether it's what's after death, or whether what's false or what's true, or whether what you need to be doing in the world is your function, or how you need to deal with relationships. The Holy Spirit, or the higher self within yourself, is the one that's supposed to ultimately answer those questions. And it's about us getting to the point that we remove the blocks to hearing that. So all those answers you're asking me, ultimately, the Course is saying they're inside of you. And that when you let go of everything in your own mind that keeps you from hearing the voice within you that's answering that, then it will reveal itself, and it will reveal all those things to you. But intellectually, I can't really answer that question because there's no way I can really prove to you those questions, really, you know. But today, we left off last week on page 5, which is who are their pupils? You need the text, the one that got all three of them in it. But what he brought up is a good point. Is everybody clear that what the Course in Miracles is about is removing the blocks to the awareness of the presence of love? I mean, that's what it's really about. It's about teaching us how to let go of the thoughts that keep us from having inner peace. And then when we achieve inner peace, then we hear the guidance of our own Holy Spirit, or our own higher self. And then that guidance will lead us to whatever it is we need to know. That's its ultimate, that's the ultimate goal of the Course, is to teach us how to tell the difference between when we're listening to the voice we made up and when we're listening to the voice that was given to us by that which created us. That's it. You know, and then everything comes out of that. And it's one of those things where it kind of either resonates or it doesn't. It's kind of it's really weird. It's like that. It's like I've known people who have fought with the Course for 20 years. Literally. And then some people they go, it sounds really crazy. Some of it sounds crazy, but still I'm compelled to keep on going through it.
And well, like I felt bad that I was away for 5 months, and then I talked to him. He's like, I've been coming here since 70-something. I'm mm-hmm. on and off my clock.
But that's normal. It's much more normal for people to come and go than mm-hmm. to stick around. That's just the way it is. It's really, the Course says that about our relationships, that lifelong relationships are really rare. It's like we try to make every relationship lifelong, but that's really a rare occurrence. Most relationships are two people coming together for a certain period of time, learning things from each other and separating. And then it's in our society that we then in turn taught that we're some kind of relationship failures if every time you form a relationship with somebody, you don't have that relationship for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. That's a really unrealistic view of relationships, you know.
So you're not trying to fix it; we're trying to forgive it.
Yeah, and forgive it just
like changing,
you know,
it's a change of our perception.
And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't I'm trying to overlook what I think you really did to me because I think I'm a much more loving, better person than you. That's the world's definition of forgiveness. But the Course's definition of forgiveness is to recognize what you're doing and what I'm doing correctly as being what it is, a call for love. It's a call for help. It's a call for healing. So when I forgive you, I'm really correctly perceiving what you do as either love or a call for love. But that doesn't mean that if you were coming at me with a bat, I wouldn't try to stop you. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't throw your common sense, like, you don't throw your common sense out of the window because you studied spiritual truth either. So it says in the very first paragraph that certain pupils have been assigned to each of God's teachers, and that's what we are. We're here to demonstrate love. And he says that the pupils or the people will begin to look for us as soon as we've answered the call. They were chosen for him because the form of the universal curriculum that he will teach is best for them in view of their level of understanding. His pupils have been waiting for him, for his coming is certain. Again, it's only a matter of time. Once the teacher has chosen to fulfill his role, they are ready to fulfill theirs. Time waits on his choice, but not on whom he will serve. When he's ready to learn, the opportunities to teach will be provided for him. In order to understand the teaching-learning plan of salvation, it's necessary to grasp the concept of time that the Course sets forth. Atonement, which the Course defines as the correction of error, corrects illusions, not truth. Therefore, the atonement, the correction of error, corrects what never was. Further, the plan for this correction was established and completed simultaneously, for the will of God is entirely apart from time, so is all reality being of God. The instant the idea of separation entered the mind of God's Son, in that very instant was God's answer given. In time, this happened very long ago. In reality, it never happened at all. Now, these next three paragraphs that I'm about to go through, I'm going to go through them, but you're probably going to go unconscious. It's probably not going to make any sense, and it's probably going to seem like it's very abstract. In the beginning, it will. So I want to go through that, and then we'll get to the main point of the paragraph. Trust me on it. For instance, watch when I read it and watch what happens. I'm going to give you the experience of what I'm talking about. The world of time is the world of illusion. That means what happened long ago seems to be happening now. Choices made long since appear to be open yet to be made. What has been learned and understood and long ago passed by is looked upon as a new thought, a fresh idea, a different approach. Because your will is free, you can accept what has already happened at any time you choose, and only then will you realize that it was always there. For instance, if you can say you love a person, the person could say, no, you don't. but you know you really do care about them and you really want the best out of, best for them. But because their will is free, they can accept whatever happens anytime they choose. In other words, their will is free, so they don't have to accept that you appreciate them and you appreciate them and that you love them because their will is free. But it's only when they realize that it was always there that it becomes real to them. So no matter how I feel about you, you have the free will to either accept that I feel that way about you or not accept that I feel that way about you. But it has nothing to do with me feeling that way about you. So when you decide to understand or accept that, you're really just accepting what was always there all the time. But you just wasn't ready to accept that yet. And that's what he's saying right now. You're not free to choose the curriculum or even the form in which you'll learn the curriculum, but you are free, however, to decide when you want to learn the curriculum, and as you accept the curriculum, it's already learned. Again, that's one of those statements that's so simple that sometimes it's bewildering. For instance, if your goal is to be peaceful and loving, if your goal is to know your spiritual identity, then there's a certain curriculum that everyone has to follow to get to the point that they experience love. If I want to be a doctor and I go to DU, they're going to tell me the curriculum that I need to take in order to be a doctor. I don't go there and tell them what I'm going to take in order to be a doctor. They give me the curriculum that I have to take to be a doctor. And that's what the course is saying, the same thing. In terms of recognizing who we really are and knowing the love that we truly are, then there's a curriculum that we're going to have to follow that we don't make up in order to recognize that. Now, when I decide to go to DU is up to me. You know, when I decide to do it, that's where my free will comes in. I want to be a doctor. They give me the curriculum that I need to take to be a doctor, but it's up to me whether I go this semester or next semester. But they're the ones who determine the curriculum. The course is saying the same thing. It's saying that which created us has a curriculum for us getting back to the love that we want to experience. And it's up to us to decide when we want to learn it. And learning it simply means accepting it. In other words, if a person says to me they learned that this was a tape recorder, what they're really telling me is that they accepted that this was a tape recorder. That's all it means. Someone told me it was a tape recorder. I said, okay, that's a tape recorder. And then they said, oh, that little child learned that was a tape recorder. The only thing the child did was accepted what you said. So the Course says as you accept something, it's already learned. When you accept it, that's you learning it. You know, somebody tell me if I had been taught that 1 and 1 was 3, then I'd say 1 and 1 is 3 right now because that's what I would have learned. You call me a man because you learned I was a man. And how did you learn I was a man? Somebody told you I was a man. And then the Course says, and we further refine it. And then you heard, I'm a black man. Then I'm a black man from Memphis. Then I'm a black man from Memphis that was born to Joe and Georgia Purdy. You see what I'm saying? He says that's what we do. We just further go into deeper labels and deeper categories, which takes us further and further and further, in most cases, away from the realization that we're one. Then it becomes black man versus white man. Then it becomes woman versus man. Then it becomes the person in Denver as opposed to the person in Los Angeles. And again, all these are learned responses, learned categories, things that we've been taught. So the Course is saying to us that, now this next paragraph is really a trip. It says, time really goes backwards. To an instant so ancient that it's beyond our memory and past even the possibility of remembering. Yet because it's an instant that's relived again and again and still again, it seems to be now. If anybody saw the movie Groundhog Day, anybody familiar with that movie? That movie is a movie about a guy who relived the same day over and over and over and over. Every time he would go to sleep and he'd wake up in the morning, he'd be right back in the same day that he was in the day before. And his challenge was to get out of this endless cycle of repeating his experience over and over and over again. It's a very fascinating, powerful spiritual movie if you get a chance to watch it. Because to me, it runs down exactly what the Course is saying. That we keep reliving the same experiences over and over again until we really have a change of mind and a change of heart. We might go through it with different people. We may go through it in different circumstances. But either you're giving yourself an experience of separation or you're giving yourself an experience of union. He says you're either giving yourself an experience of peace or you're giving yourself an experience of conflict. So if you're a person that's a drama person, if you're a person that's into fear, if you're a person that's into separation, if you're a person that's into attack, then you're going to give yourself experiences of conflict, fear, and attack broken into by periods in which they seem to be gone. He says over and over and over again. And it's going to look, to you, it's going to look like sometimes it's different people in different circumstances, but you're really giving yourself the same experience. Either you're giving yourself an experience of joining, he says, or you're giving yourself an experience of separation. And he says, and because it's an instant that's relived again and again and still again, the instant seems to be now. Thus it is that the pupil and the teacher seem to come together in the present. Looks like we came together in the present, finding each other as if we hadn't met before. Like it looks like you and I found each other in the present as if we'd never met before. He says, but you came to the right time, to the right place. I came to the right time, to the right place. So it's inevitable that he made the right choice in that ancient instant that he now relives. So has the teacher too made an inevitable choice out of an ancient past. God's will in everything but seems to take time in the working out. But really, what could delay the power of God? What could delay the power of eternity? So it says, it looks like God's will seems to take time in the working out. And then he says in another part of the book that the reason why it seems like it takes time is so that it will not freak us out and increase our fear. It's actually part of the love of God that it looks like this thing involves a process. Because that he talks about how you will not be lifted up and hurled into reality. The time will be gentle and it'll be kind and it'll keep pace with you in your transition into recognition of who you are. So when people come to the class, since I've been studying this and sharing this for, well, it'll be 26 years this month, in about a week, what I try to do is save time. And that doesn't take the place of a person studying on their own or whatever. But when I go to a mechanic, you know what the mechanic does, basically? He saves me time. If I had to fix that carburetor, it'd be a long time before that carburetor got fixed. You know, so it doesn't mean I'm unequal to the mechanic. It just means the mechanic has spent a lot of time that I haven't spent, so he can save me a lot of time in getting the carburetor done. And that's the same way I feel about the course. It doesn't take the place of a person doing their own study, and I'm not saying whatever I say is the only way it should be interpreted. But I also am saying it's something that's been a quarter of a century working on, and I bet you I have more insight into what it says than a person who's never studied before. You know, just like whatever a person's thing is, about the course. That's all I'm saying, about what the course says, not about whether or not the person's intelligent, whether we're equal, can they get it, whether or not they're going to come to a different conclusion or not. So when I'm in here, what I try to do is to save people time so that they can get to that point of peace that it's talking about a whole lot faster. Because in the end, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. There's no need to go through the same thing that every other student goes through if a person is willing to listen. Like, for instance, if you spend your time working on the course's goal of peace more than anything else, then you will get the results of the course 10 times faster than analyzing the course. Even though analyzing sounds reasonable because that's the way we've been taught to do it. And that's what he's saying now. Everybody that we meet, we're meeting because we're keeping a divine appointment, and a part of that divine appointment has to do with helping each other wake up to who we really are. That's why we're in this room. We're in this room to remind each other of love and to remind each other of oneness. And to remind each other that we're more than what we think we are. You know? And the people, he says, the people that come into your life are people that are sent to you based on the way you are, and that they need you the way you are based on their level of understanding. So anybody that comes to you from spirit is somebody who needs you the way they are. So if someone's coming to you from your ego, then you can always tell, because if they're coming to you from fear, if they're coming to you from your ego, they're going to always approach you as if you need to change in order for them to be happy. They're going to always point out your flaws, what's missing in you, what needs to change about you in order for them to be happy. There's something not okay about you for them in order to, and so for them to be happy, they got to change you. That's an ego approach. Somebody that's coming to you from love really wants to join with you and connect with you in terms of who you really are. And they benefit from you being the way you are at a conscious level. They want you to be more you. Instead of trying to make you more what I want you to be, I would really be encouraging you to express who you are more, because I learn a lot from you expressing yourself and being who you are. So that's a quick way to tell where you're getting ready to enter into a relationship that you're going to have constant conflict. And that's not the same as saying you've got to agree on everything, you have to see everything the same way. We're talking about the purpose of the relationship. The purpose of the relationship is to join and to have peace. And that's what your goal is. Your personality differences, that's just the spice that makes it fun and interesting being connected to each other. That's the seasoning. You know, that's cool that you have a different personality from me. But I don't care how different your personality is from me, Doug. If I'm going to join with you in a relationship, then I want you to want peace, and I want peace, and we want our relationship to be a relationship of peace and harmony with each other. And that has to be the primary goal. That's what's the point. You know. So when I finish this paragraph, on Wednesday, since it's a smaller group, I love to throw it open for a discussion and to get clarification. As long as we understand that it's not about anybody being right or anybody trying to fix anybody or correct anybody, but it will help us kind of get this real and make it realer. He says, when pupil and teacher come together, that means a teaching-learning situation begins. Okay, so when you and another person come together, a teaching-learning situation begins. But the teacher is not really the one who does the teaching. God's teacher, which is the Holy Spirit, speaks to any two who join together for learning purposes. Okay, so we've all joined together today for learning purposes. And since we've joined together for learning purposes, Spirit is now speaking to us, but it's speaking to us through the material. That's an obvious way that it's speaking to us right now, because we did come together for learning purposes. He says, the relationship is holy because of this purpose. So from A Course in Miracles perspective then, a holy relationship, I don't know what people think a holy relationship is, but the Course's definition of a holy relationship is any two who join together for learning purposes. So anytime I join with anybody for the purpose of learning the truth, or learning peace, or learning to be more loving, that's a holy relationship. And it says, and God has promised to send His Spirit into any holy relationship. So love has promised to send His Spirit into any relationship that has the purpose of learning. And it says, in the teaching-learning situation. So the Course describes a holy relationship as a teaching-learning situation. So every relationship that we're in is a teaching-learning relationship. It's a teaching-learning situation. He says each one learns that giving and receiving are the same. So the only thing that I'm going to learn in a relationship with anybody ultimately is that all that I give is given to myself. That's what we're really going to learn, is that you're constantly giving to yourself, that whatever you're giving out is what you're going to receive. That's what he says we're ultimately learning in a relationship. So he says the demarcations that the two people have drawn between their roles, their minds, their body, their needs, their interests, and all the differences the two people thought separated them from one another fade and grow dim and disappear. So in a holy relationship, the longer I'm in the relationship, then the more I'm going to recognize what we have in common instead of focusing on what the things are that we oppose each other about and that we have differences about. I start to recognize that we're basically the same, which is we both want love, we both want peace, and we both want happiness. Then it goes on to say, and thus he says, those who would learn the same course share one interest and one goal, and thus he who was the learner becomes a teacher of God himself. For he has made the one decision that gave his teacher to him. He has seen another person, in another person, the same interest as his own. So, what makes a teacher of love then, in the very last sentence, says it all. He says, when I see in another person the same interest as my own. You know, so if I'm looking at you, then I believe that everybody in this room wants to experience a fulfillment and to experience joy and experience happiness and love in their life. And so therefore I see you as having the same interests as me. The way you go about doing that, and the way I go about doing that, the Course says in another part of the book, that's where the clash comes in. You know, you want to be happy, but I condemn your way. I say, well, unless you do it the way that I do it, then somehow or another, something wrong with you. We both want peace, but I'm saying you got to go about it the same way I'm doing it. You know, if everybody has to agree with me, I don't have any business sitting up here. Like, if you have to agree with me, then I don't have any business sitting up here. If everybody in the room has to agree with me, then there's no point. You know, because that's not really the issue, is whether or not we agree with each other. The real issue is whether or not we want to use this time together as a teaching learning situation to get us more in an experience of union and oneness and peace with each other. That's the only thing that really matters. What are we together for? So that's the section that's called Who Are Their Pupils? So was there anything in that section that spoke to anyone, or is it anything in that section that anyone wants clarification on, or is there anything in that section that you just want to comment about? Go for it.
I guess on page 6, the mm-hmm. last sentence.
Mm-hmm.
What could delay the power of eternity?
Mm-hmm.
And that was what's coming up in my lesson today, too,
mm-hmm.
is about that I have to give up attack, I have to give up guilt, I have to give up the feeling of being separate and alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I keep putting this block in front of me, Earl, that I think I know better.
I don't know anything about that. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it keeps coming up for me really strong.
Uh-huh.
That I want to delay that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
That there's something I'm not getting.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't even, sometimes I don't even know what peace is for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't even mm-hmm. get it. You know, that this point is like, what would delay the power of eternity? Well, that's me. Isn't it?
And the context, but the context of that sentence when it says who can delay the power of eternity is like, who can delay the power of eternity? It's really saying you can't delay the power of God. That's the way the question is being phrased.
Yeah, but it feels like I can.
Yeah, right. But, right.
That's the way I like back to what I've been taught.
Right. But see, the fact that you say back to what you've been taught, then that means that you're unblocking yourself. Because the biggest breakthrough for me when I got into the course was to realize that when most of the time when a person is responding back to you, all they're doing is relaying to you what they learned and what they experienced. And so just because I learned something and just because I experienced something doesn't mean that it's true. It just means it's true for me. It just means that that's the way it is for me. So when you say that, what you're sharing is just what you said. I learned blah blah blah. And so, and the fact that you know you learned it, then you also know you can unlearn it, right? And the unlearning process, the course says, doesn't take nearly as long as the learning process. The undoing doesn't take as long as the doing. So hang in there and make it okay, because you know you learned it. So you know don't. You know, be gentle with yourself. I mean, we got a lot of programming.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of programming. And that program, he's saying, well, the way you know the programming isn't true is because of the lack of peace.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to find my goal, peace.
Mm-hmm. Like you say, I don't know what it's for.
I don't know. Sometimes I really don't know, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it really looks like. Because you know, they teach us. I've been taught like other things that weren't peaceful. I know what that is, you know, but I need to know what peace is.
You will. You will.
Seems like you get it. Maybe I have moments or glimpses, but that's about it. Sometimes to be, you know, really, because I just don't know.
Right. I hear you. But you cannot not get to where you're going if you continue to follow the curriculum.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. Things always keep unfolding.
Yeah.
Quietly, sometimes.
Yeah, I doubt very seriously.
Kind of with a shout on my part. You know?
Yeah, I doubt very seriously that the first time you got in the car, you got in, cranked it up, and drove away.
Right.
You went. You know what I'm saying? But it was funny how when it comes to spiritual awakening, how it's almost like we beat ourselves up about the learning process.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
it's like, yeah.
That
yeah.
beating up part.
Yeah.
It's getting old.
It will get old.
It gets old.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Thank God it gets old. It will. You stop. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else have any thoughts about that? You would, especially in terms of your personal relationships that you have now. You know, it's like based on the relationships that you have now, Would you say that most of your relationships are coming from your ego? Or would you say that most of your intimate relationships right now are coming from your spirit?
My ego.
Well, how do you know that?
There's not peace here. Because I keep having to laugh at myself over and over again.
Laugh at yourself?
Mm-hmm. I keep having to laugh at myself over and over again.
That's a good attitude. Yeah.
One thing that we were talking about the other day, and it says in paragraph 4, yet because it is an instant that is relived again and again and still again, and it seems to be now, I was sharing with you about this boss I had. I'd be in a job, having a pretty good time. The boss I liked would leave, and he would come. And every time, I'd be like, oh, God, him again, you know, the last time. Mm-hmm. I just started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, clearly this is one of those deja vu, Groundhog Day experiences where there's a lesson here. And I need to get it, or else he's going to continue to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, coming to peace and saying, you know what, the truth is I don't want to follow this curriculum in the job. I don't really want to do what's required of me because that isn't my goal.
Mm-hmm.
To be real honest, I have a different goal, and I need to pursue that. And just coming clean and saying, you know, I think I need to leave here because it's not my goal, and then parting, you know, in a peaceful way, in a real genuine, like, peaceful way this time. And it's like, I know that I don't have to relive that one, because I finally got that. Amen. I was the one that was causing the judgment, the condemnation.
Yes, yeah.
And everybody had so much agreement about how difficult the whole thing was, but it was like, I can choose peace, and I can choose to move on. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's staying and making myself.
Check that out.
And
check
making him the bad guy.
Check
and I'm
out.
The one that's subjecting myself to it.
Thank you.
And I finally realized that he is, you know, considers himself pretty much victimized by the system. He doesn't want to be the bad guy or the inhumane thing. And we could just come to, like, really being honest about it and find a peaceful solution. And it's like, wow. Thank God. That's been going on a long time.
He's in Sunday's class, we read through a part that said, you know that the reason why a problem hasn't been solved is because of a lack of faith, and
yeah,
that when you remove yourself from the problem, you make it unsolvable.
Yeah,
so as soon as you claim your power in the situation,
yeah,
and you made yourself the one that was like responsible for your experience,
yeah,
then the problem was solved because,
yeah,
you didn't take you out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Where most people, it's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
It's always somebody else that's to blame. And therefore the problem remains unsolvable because they don't see the relationship that they have to the situation that they're going through.
Then you put your finger on it, it's lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is all I can have.
Mm-hmm.
I can't trust that I'll be taken care of other than this situation and having to be ground up by these type of systems. And
it's like trying to get to truth or to love or to God or to spirit, whatever you want to call it. Alone and not tapping into a power greater than yourself is analogous to training to be an astronaut and then deciding that you're going to go out in outer space without the spaceship.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen. And that's, again, it's the same thing. It's like everybody wants to get to a higher level of consciousness, but they want to do it without the vehicle to get there, which is their higher self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's one more thing Earl is going to take care of by himself. You know, and that's the same thing as astronauts saying, I'm going to orbit the Earth without this space shuttle. You know, you got to have the means to achieve the end. And the Course is saying the means is the Holy Spirit. The means is our inner guidance and not our ego.
And ask and it is given.
And guess what you do.
And know whether it's going to, if you can trust that, you know, are you supported and sustained or not? You know,
was there any sentence in here that, or any phrase in this section that spoke to anybody in a very strong way?
The thing about time, that it goes backwards. That,
mm-hmm,
I read that part over and over again.
I
was like, that is cool.
Yeah.
I just.
So what does that mean to you?
That I'm already where I need to be, but I put myself where I don't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wonder why I'm having a problem.
Yeah. I'm always curious to see how everybody's interpreting or seeing it, because it's always helpful.
So you were basically saying you're not saying the now from that time.
Yeah, that how it goes backwards. How I'm the one who put myself backwards when actually I'm right, I was forwards the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This to me takes me out of time. That sentence. Because if it goes back beyond all memory and past even the possibility of remembering, that means that there is no remembrance.
Yeah.
It's just what is. Mm-hmm. So it's irrelevant. And that's like, wow, then we are really just here now because there isn't anything else.
Yeah, it was such a deep sentence. They just sucked me in. It was very cool. Really.
Yeah, it's just amazing how much help you can get when you let go of the right, wrong premise. I got to be wrong for you to be right. And then you got to be wrong for me to be right, and then it becomes each one of us could have a perspective that was helpful to all of us.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how many conversations I get into with people I'm not trying to be right with them. I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for me to be in the world and not realize that as many different perceptions as there are people. And so it's like, what is your take? Because what you're going to do is you're going to give me an aspect or a perspective that I wouldn't see ordinarily. For instance, when I look at you, it sometimes dawns on me that I'm looking at you, but what you're seeing is completely different than what I'm seeing. You know, because from your angle, you're seeing my face, you're seeing this, you know what I'm saying? So it's like we're in the same room, but I'm literally seeing in a completely different perspective than you're seeing. So I could say to you, you know, there's a picture of a guy behind your head. You know, say, I could make you aware of something that's really there that you can't see, and you could do the same thing for me. But if it became, you know, well, the way I'm seeing it is the only way to see it, then I'm missing all this information that you could give me about what's all around me, and vice versa. So there's no need for either one of us to deal with a right wrong thing. It's like, tell me your perspective. Let me hear your perspective. Because you could make me aware of something that I wouldn't ordinarily see. You know, but there is one thing we have in common, and it's called what is. And the ego's going to say, what do you mean, define that? No, just that's just what is. And then the defining of what is what's created the separation to begin with. You know, but I know this much, all of us are having an experience of what is. That I'm positive of. Now, what is, I can't tell you. And how you're perceiving what is, I can't tell you. But I know there's a what is. You know, and the Course is trying to get us to the what is behind what we're telling ourselves is. There's you, and then that's what I tell me about you. You know, when you react to me, you're not reacting to me. You're reacting to what you're telling yourself about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about the next time when you're with somebody. They're reacting to what they're telling themselves about you. They're not reacting to you. You know, they haven't even seen you.
What they're telling themselves about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're seeing. You know, there are as many different opinions of Earl Purdy as a teacher and a person as there are people that walk in the room. And then the Course is saying, but do you know, beyond your perception, there is an Earl Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
I really do exist. But I exist beyond your interpretation of who I am. And that's what fascinates me. That's what fascinates me about people.
Well, I exist beyond my interpretation of who I am.
Check that out. Yeah, that's what keeps us going.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm cooler than I thought I was.
Well, when it talks about time,
mm-hmm.
and I can't point to a particular thing, my impression is that this here concept of time is so broad. Is it talking about just this 180, 90 years we get to live? Or is it talking about, and that's why I brought up this after death thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a huge, broad concept of time.
Mm-hmm.
Being so ancient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it talks about time as being what we experience when we experience ourselves as separate in the body. So the concept of time is something that we actually made up. Just like how we did Saturday night. When we all got together and said, okay, it's 1 hour later now. You know, time is a man-made construct.
I mean, well, I guess what I'm mm-hmm. trying to figure out is it suggesting reincarnation?
Oh, it says that basically the Course in Miracles says that. There's a section in the teacher's manual. That's funny, the questions you're asking are literally the questions that he asked in the back of the book. Like, there's a section in the teacher's manual that says, what is death? And there's literally another section that goes, what is reincarnation? And he was saying that ultimately reincarnation, first of all, he says that reincarnation is not something, the belief in reincarnation is not something that's important as far as grasping or benefiting from the Course. But if a person believes in it, then certainly don't give that belief up unless your inner teacher tells you to. But it says actually reincarnation, as it's conventionally looked at, is impossible in the sense that there's no such thing as who we really are dying and being reborn many times in terms of what we are. But just like you change clothes every day, but it's the same you in those clothes. You know, you have then you have one life, and that life is eternal. But your experience of that one life can be seen as something that enters many bodies, just like you entered many clothes. So you can almost look at the clothes in your closet as lives, for a great analogy. It's the same you that's wearing all of them, but you have a different experience of yourself when you're in your jogging clothes, and you have a different experience of yourself when you're in a nightgown, and you have a different, you see what I'm saying? So each one of your clothes represents a lifetime. But the Course is saying who you are is the one that's wearing the clothes, and so that's who you want to get in touch with.
So what's the same if you like to be naked and not wear clothes?
Well, then that's the same as saying, that would be the same. No, but that's a good analogy. That would be the same as a soul who chooses not to reincarnate at all. And there are souls that never come into the body. So that's the naked. Wow. That's the naked one. This is one way of evolvement. And again, I'm just relaying information. I can't prove this, but there are other ways to learn that don't have anything to do with coming into a physical body, and some aspects of ourselves don't ever do that. So that's the naked one, the one who chooses not to go through the cycle of birth and death. But that section on what is reincarnation, it deals specifically with that whole thing of time and birth.
Would that naked one be like you're stuck in a box?
Hmm?
Would that naked one be like you got many boxes?
The naked one would be the same as you not, you being beyond the idea of you being a body. It would be beyond the idea of you being a body. The funny thing about answering questions from the Course and other things like that is that I can answer basically any question that somebody asks me. But the thing that I notice is that if I don't say what it is a person already kind of like has in their mind, they don't hear my answer. I've noticed that over and over and over again. Like when you just said that, and you say, well, what is it? Okay, what would be naked? And I say, well, being naked would be the same as not entering a body at all. You know? And then you said, well, wouldn't that be a block? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like I could tell you what it says, but still, the mind can still go for another angle on it, mm-hmm. which is normal for the mind. But that doesn't mean that I didn't share how the Course perspective of that thing would be, and that's all I can do. And that's the funny thing about sharing the truth. That's why outside of the course, nobody knows I teach the Course. Outside of the Course, nobody, you know, I have a whole life that has nothing to do with the Course. Why? For that simple reason. I'd much rather be in an experience where I'm just loving with you than to get into an experience where we're going to make an artificial separation from each other because you don't agree with the way that I see things. And so we end up being in opposition to each other as opposed to being joined because you can't, there's some things that can't be explained. And it was so good when I finally got that from the Course, because he says in the book, there's some things that you cannot explain. I know you want to feel like there's everything is explainable, but you're going to a place in your spiritual development where you cannot explain this. I can only lead you to an experience of this. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different teaching in that regard. Where it's going, it's only an experience that can get you to the answer to the things that you used to being able to figure out.
It's easy to see why that would be hard on the ego.
Oh, it drives the ego crazy.
The ego wants to explain everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the ego is that part of us that thinks everything is explainable, especially the unknown.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know, and he talks about that, you know. How can you control the unknown? How can you explain it? That's why it's unknown. That's what the meaning of unknown is. It's beyond what can be explained. If it could be explained, it'd be known. And so what keeps allowing us to evolve and have newer and newer experiences really comes from I don't know. That's why in the workbook, the first few lessons say stuff like, I do not understand what this is for. I do not understand. Because he's trying to get us to see, until you realize you don't know everything, I can't introduce new elements that you're not aware of. But as long as you think you know, then I can't tell you anything. If you ask me a question and you already got in your mind what the answer is, it's no way I can impart any new information. So the normal process when you're talking to somebody is that they edit out everything that you say that they don't agree with. So they essentially walk away with the exact same way of thinking that they had when they first walked up. Because they literally discounted everything that you've said that doesn't go along with their current belief. So if you really want to grow, you have to walk into a situation and go, I don't know what this is for. I don't know what everything means. What I know may not be all there is to know. Maybe there is another way of looking at this. Maybe there is a different approach to this. See, that, like, that's what brings in the new experience, which is opposite from the way that the average, especially American, is looks at things.
That's been part of my story since I God picked me up and brought me here to the Course. And it's really such a relief not to have to know.
Mm-hmm.
And to just say, you know, I don't know how to handle this. I don't even have to handle it. I can just be open and surrendered and allow what I don't know to that is greater than I am to reveal itself. And the struggle, the only struggle is remembering to keep being surrendered.
Thank you.
And not trying to
Thank
fix
you.
It.
Thank you.
And then, amazingly, it becomes transformed. Without my work, without my effort, without my struggle.
So you experienced what I was talking about earlier in terms of you got a direct experience of it. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You went through what the curriculum said do, which is to recognize you don't know everything, and you weren't attached to knowing everything. And then you had the direct experience of a resolution of some things that you had not even, didn't even know exactly how it could happen. And that has happened so many times with people that I've worked with over the years that a lot of times when I say things, I'm not saying things theoretically. I'm really saying things based on watching hundreds and hundreds of people and working with them over years and years and years and years. And that's what I noticed, that the people that will take the attitude that it suggests, which can bring up a lot of resistance in terms of what we were programmed to believe. I'm not denying that, you know. They're the ones who always end up getting the situation resolved, the healing happening, and the peace happening. You know, and the ones who feel like, you know, it's all about being right rather than being happy, then nothing ever happens. They do Groundhog Day. The drama just continues. The problems just continue. They get angry. They get mad. They keep going through the same thing. But they don't realize that they're not doing anything any different from what they've been doing all the time, which is, I have to be right. I have to know everything. It has to be the way that I say that it is.
Or that I have to fix it.
Oh, I love that.
Somehow I'm responsible for fixing it. And it was so great to say, I don't know how to fix it.
Thank you.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I turn it over. I surrender it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will either be transformed or I'll be lifted up out of it. But I'm not in control and I don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's grace.
Mhm. Mhm. And it'd be so cool too as you continue to learn more about, like, who to say that to. You know, because you can say that to some people and they'll spend the rest of the time you're talking to them, trying to convince you how irresponsible that is, or you need to take more charge, and what is your problem. And they overlook that you said one major thing, which was, I have more peace when I do it this way, and the situation was solved. It wasn't like you said that and you weren't getting results. You said you were taking that attitude and you're getting results. You know, I don't mess with that. You know what I'm saying? If a person's happy, I'm not messing with that. You know what I'm saying? Evidently what you're doing works for you, and I'm going to step back and I'm going to support you and continue to do what works for you in a peaceful way. So it's just about one. It's like 5 minutes to one or something like that, or less. So, yeah, so I'm going to stop now, and we do the love offering. And there's a the next class is tomorrow night at 7. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you keep reading, you're going to come up on a sentence that knocks you out of your seat. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have such a profound impact on you that it either makes the stuff you didn't understand make more sense, or it's so beautiful and so powerful you don't even care about the other stuff you didn't understand, because this truth is so helpful to you and it frees you up in some way. That's kind of like what helps us realize that the Course really is different. If I'm having a totally different reaction to something than anything I've ever read before, then it's a good chance that I might be actually dealing with something new, which means I might end up having an experience that's totally new. So the purpose is peace. That's all I want you to have. And that's what's going to happen. Because that's the goal that we all have. You know, remember that we were just talking about, you know, what do you want to come out of it? Mm-hmm. Like you said, well, I don't even know what I want peace for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know. So when you answer that question, you know. But you know something? I believe you know. I really believe you know what peace is for. That what the purpose of peace is. You know.
There's something that keeps you picking up that book, right?
And then he talks about peace, though, in the teacher's manual. He says that when you receive the peace of God, you can. He tells how to tell when you're experiencing the peace of God. And in one of the characteristics of the peace of God is that it's unlike any other experience that you've had before. You know, so the mere fact that you say you don't understand is actually a good sign. That actually means that real peace must be something other than what I've defined peace as being. Yeah, because think about it. What do we define peace as? We define peace in most cases as I got some kind of script, I got some kind of plan, I got a plan about how things should be into conditions, and it happened today. Like my I have peace today because my boss came in and he left at 12 noon. Right. See, that's not real, you know. It's not real peace either. Right. It's peace based on something outside of myself being a certain way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So real peace is independent of that.
Yeah.
So it is something beyond your understanding. It is beyond my understanding. You know what I'm saying? It's like a peace beyond my scripts, peace coming from something beside what I thought, that is totally beyond my understanding. So we go into a cool place.
It's just a big block. It's removing the blocks.
Yeah, that's it.
It is.
That's
it's
it.
What I think, what I thought it was, this illusion of peace. It's not
there. Thank God. That's so cool that you realize that, though. That puts you so far ahead of the game, you know. And I appreciate my illusions of peace. You know, I appreciate the peace I get from eating a good piece of pizza that I like. That's cool. I'm not knocking that. Yeah. I enjoy the peace I feel from going on vacation somewhere. I'm not knocking any of that. That's, and the Course isn't either.
Right, it's not trying to get guilt.
No, it's not trying to make you sacrifice you and the pleasures of the body either.
Right.
Which a lot of people misinterpret it as doing. It's just trying to give us peace in all our experiences. So y'all, we're getting ready to go back out into the lab. Get a chance to see if we can practice a little bit more. And I kind of feel we got some good teachers out there, too. What y'all think? I think we got some people out there that really help us practice everything that we study. They're out there waiting. They're waiting. I can just hear them. So I will see you good people the next time, okay? I appreciate y'all so much. I really do.
We've got someone working on their doctorate degree.